Hello, everybody, and welcome into That SEC Podcast. Once again, this is episode 5. Hopefully, you guys have been able to tune in to the last 4. If you haven't, you can certainly do that. I'm Cody McClure. I'm joined by SEC Mike, Michael Bratton, Saturday Down South. Mike, if people have missed the first 4 episodes that we've done, they can tune in via SoundCloud, Twitter, all kinds of different avenues, but from what I understand,
yeah, that's you told correct. Me that we are just on go iTunes ahead, now, right? You know, to the Apple iTunes store there, however you find podcasts, just search for That SEC Podcast, and every episode we've done is available for download, and we'd appreciate any kind of reviews or rankings you want to give us, and just looking forward to just getting more quality episodes up.
Yeah, and if you'd like to send money, that would be fine too. I can we can provide our email addresses. No, that's I don't expect any monetary gain, but hey, I just like talking football, Mike, and I know you do too. So we've got plenty to talk about today. Let's start with something that you posed to me earlier: legitimate SEC contenders that could lose in week 1.
Yeah, and you know, we've already kind of touched on possibly Ole Miss getting upset by South Alabama. I know you're in that camp while I'm not. But, you know, we don't want to kind of go over that again because obviously Ole Miss is not a contender. So we're kind of thinking of Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee. Which of those teams faces the biggest surprise? You know, like last season, heading into the 2016 season, I really thought LSU had a great shot to win the SEC. They dropped the opener against Wisconsin. That was a complete shock to me. So I'm just wondering if there's any game on this year's slate that you could see that happening this year.
Well, I think this is the best way to break it down, right? Because, you know, the top 3 contenders in each division, you look at who they play. Alabama plays Florida State. That's going to be a game. Auburn, I don't think they're going to be tested. They may not cover the spread against Georgia Southern, but that won't be a game. And I really don't think LSU is going to be tested by BYU. But if you want to just kind of start on the west side here and talk about that, I do think, Mike, I think that Alabama could lose this weekend. Now, I've been saying all along, I think Alabama's going to have maybe the best defense that they've had under Nick Saban, one of the better defenses that they've had. I think Alabama will win, but if you had to break it down just looking at the west side, you look at those 3 teams, I think it's the most likely team to lose.
Well,
is Alabama
you could
on the west
make that argument.
Side.
You know, Florida State, they're ranked number 3 in the preseason for a reason. They got talent all over the field. Some people saying Derwin James, the safety, is the best player in college football. You know, I'm not ready to go that far, but, you know, that's going to be a great game, hopefully. But I just like Alabama in that game. I think their players on defense it'll be a complete mismatch with the Florida State offensive line. So that's kind of, you know, that's going to be tough for Florida State to overcome in my mind. And I just like, you know, Finebaum was talking about Nick Saban being the difference in that game. And I could see that definitely being the case. If I had to pick one West team that I think could get upset, I would lean to go back to LSU. You know, last episode we talked about BYU being really disappointing in their opening weekend game against Portland State. But, you know, they got a game under their belt. Maybe that'll help them going into week 2. We don't really know what we're going to get from the offense with Matt Canada. Dave Aranda's maybe the best coordinator in the nation, but you know, a coach can only do so much with so many losses on the defensive side of the ball. So if I'm going to say a one West team I think could lose the first game, I'm going to go with LSU against BYU.
That would be a shocker. And that game is in New Orleans now as well because they had to move it from Houston. So even closer to Baton Rouge. But I think that crowd is pretty much going to be all LSU anyway. But, you know, Mike, I was thinking about something, talking about it earlier today. BYU and LSU in the city of New Orleans, can you think of a more displaced team morally than BYU?
I hadn't thought of it that way. But, you know, any Cougar fans going down there from Utah, I recommend they stay in their hotel room all night because they may be, you know, so shocked at what they see, they may not make it to the game.
Well, it depends on what kind of Cougars you're talking about, because if you head down to Bourbon Street, you could probably find a few. But, yeah, that should be a fun game. I have to disagree with you. I don't think there's any chance LSU loses it. But let's move on to the East, though, because I think you have some far more interesting matchups here as far as SEC teams that could lose. And Georgia, their game against Appalachian State, I like App State to cover. I see that being, I don't think, as scary as the Tennessee game was last year, but I think Georgia will struggle. If they don't cover, I think that's probably a 10 to 14 point game, but I like Georgia to win. Florida, if they had Antonio Callaway, I would take Florida in the fourth quarter. He's the kind of guy that can make a play to win the game. Without him, I actually like Michigan in that game, and I think that Florida could lose in an ugly slugfest, like a 13-6 or something like that, maybe. But the one most likely to lose out of the East, I think, is Tennessee. With the news of Darren Kirkland being out for Tennessee at linebacker and going up against a team like Georgia Tech, who all they do is pound the rock at you, I think the more that I think about it, I'm actually starting to lean towards Georgia Tech in that game.
There was news today that Georgia Tech may be down another running back. I don't know the depth that team would have going into that, but they've already had their top rusher dismissed. This guy would be their new leading rusher, if you want to put it that way. He was the leading returning receiver in terms of receiving yards for the Yellow Jackets, so I got to really question how much depth they have at running back, and they got – I heard a stat today, the quarterback that they expect to start threw 9 passes last year. Now, I did watch the Virginia Tech game, and he started that game, and he won. Georgia Tech won the game. He looked good. So, you know, he's not totally inexperienced, but I don't know. I just think the talent gap could potentially be too big in that game. I wouldn't be totally shocked if Georgia Tech wins it, but the team that I'm actually going to lean with here is Florida, and I've been high on them all offseason, but, you know, for the simple reason that we just don't know much about the Wolverines roster, nonetheless, the depth chart, so, I mean, you can do some digging on some recruiting websites and easily find out who's on the roster, but just given what they've lost, and I think Jim Harbaugh is such a good coach, I think he could really have that team ready to play week one. I'm really interested to watch that game.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan, Florida doesn't even know who's on the team. Did they trade game film? I mean, I guess you can't in week one, right? So the only thing Florida knows about Michigan is what they can see from last year. So as far as practice and all that kind of stuff, I doubt Florida knows a whole lot about Michigan because it's just such a new team. With what is it, Mike? Is it 16 returning starters or guys who are new starters? I'm sorry.
For Michigan, yeah, they only have 5 players that are technically listed as returning starters. And I think I read a stat where it's the least amount in like 20 years in FBS football. So that's a pretty remarkable stat. Now, last year, Ohio State only had 6, so only had one more, and they ended up in the playoffs. So, that's not the end-all, be-all stat by any means, but that just tends, that leads me to believe that Michigan is somewhat of a complete wild card, and as high as I am on Florida, I could see Michigan sneaking up on them here and getting the win.
I could see that as well. Let's move on to some quarterback battles that are still ongoing. Thoughts on coaches refusing to name a starter? Some that come to mind, Kevin Sumlin. We were working on the news earlier today, saw that everybody is still in contention for that starting job. Butch Jones said that Tennessee's competition could end up going all the way to the opening warm-ups against Georgia Tech. What are your thoughts on some of these coaches not naming starters?
I mean, I think it's a joke. These teams, especially heading into the first week of the season, they've had, over 6 months to prepare for this game. They're not going to fool the defense. It's not like, you know, if Garantano were to start for Tennessee, Georgia Tech would be completely off balance and lose the game. I don't really see the need for it. It sounds like some of these teams, Tennessee and specifically, the players already know who's going to start. And if that's the case, I just think it's kind of ridiculous to just not name that guy and roll with him to start the game. Now, I guess the only downside is if you name a guy and then he comes out and he struggles, you know, what? I don't know. I guess that could have some adverse effect there. But, you know, this isn't high school football. Even the backup's got to be ready to play at this level.
And you talk about the preparation. I mean, the teams that these schools are playing, they've been preparing for every quarterback who is in that battle. And so they already know what's going to be coming at them regardless. The only thing I wonder is, you know, some of these teams probably still really don't know. I mean, I wonder, you know, they all probably have a good idea. But I do wonder if some teams, if the quarterback battle is just that close and they still have no idea what to do. And it makes me wonder if a lot of these guys we might not see or we might see two or three quarterbacks in the game in the first couple of weeks for a lot of SEC teams.
Yeah, I mean, I could buy into that a little bit more heading into fall camp. But, you know, as the coaches are drawing up the game plan and preparing for the opponent this week, it's really hard for me to believe that they don't know who they're going to have out there to start the game. It just seems really, you know, unfathomable to me that a guy's going to win the team over at this point if he hasn't already.
Yeah, I could understand that. But I do think that maybe some teams might lack that leadership, you know. I don't know if it's – I mean, I would like to think that they have a good, pretty good idea as coaches, but I don't know. It's just kind of hard to say. But how about some games that we are most looking forward to? Could be a top game or a top three game this weekend. I think the two that stand out for me, without a doubt, it's number one Alabama and number three Florida State. And then also that Michigan-Florida game, I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It reminds me a little bit, not on the same level, but a little bit like that 2011 Alabama and LSU game, 9-6 kind of game where nobody can score. So I think those two will be fascinating games. And then, of course, I'm looking forward to Monday and Atlanta, Tennessee taking on Georgia Tech, because I think that'll be a real dogfight.
Yeah, those three games, obviously, there's probably the marquee matchups on the schedule. We kind of already touched on them quite a bit. Another game that I'm really looking forward to is NC State, South Carolina, and that's going to be played in Charlotte. You know, there's been some, you know, some hype NC State as a possible playoff contender. I think we kind of laughed at that last time, but, you know, I still want to see what South Carolina has. I think this will be a really good matchup of a good South Carolina offense against a really good North Carolina State defense. So I want to see who's legitimate in that matchup. And one other game that I've really got my eye on, Sunday night, Texas A&M at UCLA in the Rose Bowl. I think that game, you know, obviously the loser of that game is going to be facing a ton of pressure the rest of the way. I like Texas A&M to come out strong in that game, but, you know, if they don't, it's going to be a very, very long season in College Station.
How about Missouri State at Missouri? Florida A&M and Arkansas.
One oddity in that Missouri game is the Missouri State coach is, I believe his name is Dave Steckel. He was the longtime Missouri defensive coordinator before Barry Odom, so you know he might actually know the personnel pretty well on the Tigers. So that's a reason enough to watch for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I'm such a junkie. Like, I'm going to watch all of these games. But that's probably the one I'll watch, honestly, because it's the only SEC game on at noon. And all the other national games at noon are not very good anyway. So, but, you know, there are a couple of matchups like that, though, that not that one, because that won't be much of a game. But you look at some of these kind of lower tier matchups, Kentucky at Southern Miss. That's a team Kentucky lost to in week one last year, and And I know that, you know, they have a totally different quarterback, and Nick Mullins has moved on, but still yet going on the road against a team that beat you by 9 last year. And you look at, of course, we mentioned South Alabama, Ole Miss, but Vanderbilt at Middle Tennessee, that's usually a close matchup too.
Yeah, and I'd like to have my eye a little bit closer on that just to try to figure out Vanderbilt, what they got this year, but that's going to be tough for me to do with the Florida State and Alabama game and Auburn playing, but I look forward to watching back that Vanderbilt-MTSU game probably on Sunday is when I'll probably have to watch it, but I'll be very curious to see what Vanderbilt does, if they can kind of continue that momentum they had at the end of last season. If they have, I mean, they could be a potential, you know, dark horse in the East. I'm picking them towards the very bottom of the East, so that kind of tells you what I think of them. But, you know, maybe they'll prove me wrong this against Middle Tennessee.
Without a doubt, though, I think that the two biggest games are Alabama and Florida State, obviously. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. But Michigan and Florida, I think that game, it's an intriguing game to me because we just don't know a ton about either team right now because all of the players that are going to be missing for Florida, but not only that, Florida may or may not finally have a decent quarterback. So we'll get to see what's going on with the Florida quarterback situation. You mentioned the losses from Michigan, but that seems to me, Mike, to be the one game in the SEC this weekend besides Alabama, Florida State, that could end up having real national postseason implications.
Yeah, and I'll be very curious to see. You know, there's been a lot of hype around the Florida offensive line. You know, just kind of they've been a unit that has struggled significantly the last 2 years. They've been forced to play a lot of young players, talented players, but young players. And the Michigan on the other side, they have an excellent defensive line. Not many of those guys were starters. I don't think any of them were actually, but you know, they're all high profile recruits formerly, and they all played significantly last year. And some people saying this is one of the best defensive line units in the Big Ten. So, you know, I want to see, that'll be the matchup of the game. I want to see if Florida can run the ball on this Michigan team. I think they're going to have a very good chance to, you know, carry that over to the SEC slate. And if not, it's going to be very interesting to see what they have on offense, because if they can't get that running game going, that just kind of compounds the issues they possibly have at quarterback. And you know, that's just something to keep your eye out on there.
Yeah, you make a good point, because Michigan is still going to be, you have to assume, pretty good in the front seven. I mean, Michigan by no means will be the top contender in the Big Ten this year. I think Ohio State and Penn State are probably the favorites, but Michigan will still be, I mean, Jim Harbaugh is as good of a recruiter as he is and as good of a coach in general as he is. That is still going to be a formidable test. I mean, I don't care if they have zero starters back. They'll be tough enough in the trenches. So I think we will get a pretty good gauge on Florida in week one with that one.
Yeah, I'm just, like I said, I can't wait. These games, just talking about these games, I'm getting excited. You know, I wish they were tomorrow.
I do too. Luckily, though, we are only actually less than 48 hours away, because no, there are no games tomorrow, but the first game, Florida A&M and Arkansas on Thursday night, SEC Network. So I don't really care about that game, but I always kind of watch the Hogs because, as you know, I'm from the state of Arkansas, and so I like to keep up with what's going on there. So I'm sure I'll be tuned in, that game being played in Little Rock. And then I think that's the good thing, the best thing about this weekend, is we have that game Thursday, whatever, plus Ohio State, Indiana. But then you go down the list, Saturday, jam-packed all day. But then the best thing about this opening weekend is it doesn't end. We have games on Sunday night and Monday night, and then that will help carry us into week two. And I don't know. I love this opening weekend because there's just so many good football games on.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, the one criticism I would have of it is it just doesn't feel like a game week to me for Tennessee. You know, they're so far back on their game week preparation, essentially. You know, their press conferences will come leading up to these other games. And You know, based on my work schedule, Monday is obviously, just like most other people, the first day of the week. So it still feels like a week away. I know it'll be here before we know it, but I just kind of wish Tennessee was playing a little bit sooner than Monday.
Yeah, I can understand that. And, you know, last year they played that Thursday game. And plus, we're talking about a neutral site for this one. And so I do understand what you mean by that. It almost feels like it's not really game week for Tennessee. Hopefully the players from Tennessee don't feel that way, but they'll get ran out of Atlanta. But, you know, I think really for Tennessee, the first game that, I mean, to be honest, the first one that matters is not even next Saturday, but against Florida on the 16th. So that should be fun to watch. But anyway, getting back on. Go ahead.
One more thing about that game. I wanted to ask you about something that, you know, I heard on another podcast. They were talking about, you know, obviously that game is hugely important for Butch Jones and the Tennessee program, and it may not be as equally as big for Georgia Tech. I think if they lose that game, you know, they still have a good chance to rebound and make some noise in the ACC. But they were kind of arguing that, you know, because it's Monday night, it's the only game on, it's going to be nationally televised, as you said, there's a lot of hype, a lot of pressure in that game. They were curious to, you know, see if Tennessee lives up to it or falters under that pressure. And I would tend to disagree, because if you look at these two teams, you know, I don't remember Georgia Tech being in that showcase game very often last season, whereas Tennessee, for a, what was it, a four-week stretch there,
yep,
there was Virginia Tech, and then obviously not Ohio, but the following 4 weeks, Florida, Georgia, Texas A&M, and Alabama, that they were essentially the showcase game in the SEC every week. And I think that will help prepare them for a game like this. I don't think the moment will be too big for them. What do you think about that?
I would agree with that. The four games you mentioned there for Tennessee, that stretch last season, all four of those games were the 2:30 your time CBS game. And so,
right,
yeah, Tennessee is totally familiar with the big stage. I mean, everybody on this Tennessee team, and that's the good thing. You know, I was talking about this earlier. That's the good thing, I think, for this Tennessee team, is that you have a lot of players who, while you don't have a lot of star power, you have a pretty experienced roster. A lot of guys with big game experience.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that stretch kind of, you know, helped give this perception that maybe, you know, Tennessee was, you know, I've heard people say lucky. I've heard say, you know, just kind of like a cardiac team. But, you know, Tennessee the last 10 or so years have not been in the national spotlight. So it was kind of rare for them to be in that position. And they had, you know, the amazing turnaround against Florida, obviously the Hail Mary against Georgia, maybe the best SEC game of the season at Texas A&M, followed by that showcase game in Alabama. I think that kind of, you know, maybe the outside fans kind of bought into this team too, and then they were kind of brought back to reality after those two losses. And I think that hurt Tennessee's perception going into this year, and I just don't know how accurate that is.
I would tend to agree with that. I mean, I don't think that the big stage is going to be much of an issue for Tennessee. And if anything, it would be an issue for Georgia Tech, as you mentioned. And I just think that that's going to be – I think it'll be a really good football team. I'm leaning with Georgia Tech right now just because of Tennessee's struggles on defense. But Tennessee, clearly the more talented team there. But anyway, Mike, the last thing, though, to get to, and I'm sure Tennessee could be brought up in this conversation, teams with the most to lose.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of easy to go with Tennessee. We've kind of talked about them quite a bit, though. So I think – personally, I think the team with the most to lose would be LSU. With just the first real season under Coach Orgeron, they got a new offensive coordinator. You know, what if the offense doesn't get going? What if they drop that game to BYU? I think there's serious questions there immediately on whether Orgeron is going to be there past 1 year.
I think that the team with the most to lose is Georgia. And the reason is the expectations coming into this season and the hype around Georgia and the fact that you have basically every starter on the defense coming back. And you have Jacob Eason, who is expected to be a fantastic quarterback. You have the best running back duo, the best stable of running backs in the SEC outside of Alabama. I think Georgia has, without a doubt, the most to lose this season and this weekend in particular, because that Appalachian State team, I think that they can still run the ball, and I think they're very dangerous. Now, I said at the top of the half hour here on the podcast, I don't think Georgia will lose the game, but if it's close in the fourth quarter and Georgia somehow did give that game up, I mean, the air that would be let out of that program, I think that loss for Georgia would be more devastating than any loss that any other SEC team could take this weekend.
Yeah, not only would it be big for this year, but potentially Kirby Smart and the direction of his program. You know, obviously they have a ton of recruiting hype from last year. They brought in a very highly regarded class. You know, they got a lot of young talent all over this team. 8-5 was truly a disappointing year. That's a bad year for Georgia. They start off here 0-1. You make a good point. And there's also a look-ahead factor. They got to travel to Notre Dame next week. It'll be interesting to see. It's hard to believe teams would look past the first opponent, but I think Tennessee certainly proved that they're capable of doing that. So, Georgia along with LSU, I think those are the two teams in the SEC with the most to lose this week.
I would agree with you on LSU as well. And another team I'd like to put into this conversation, you really can't because they're not favored to win. So it's hard to really say that they have a whole lot to lose, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense. But South Carolina, just because of the hype that they have, kind of the new expectations coming into this year, and again, which we've already hit on it in previous episodes, but I think they're totally unwarranted. But just because of that and the fact that NC State is such a close-by school, not a rival, but kind of a recruiting rival and almost an in-state type program that you're going up against, I think that South Carolina fans, I think they'll be okay if they lose that game. Obviously, they're not even favored. But I think it takes a little bit out of the program with the expectations coming into this season.
Yeah, the momentum there could be halted, especially the following week. They have to travel to Missouri, so you just don't know. And then following that, they play Kentucky. So, that's a really tough stretch for a team like South Carolina to open the year with. There's no cupcakes there. But I'd say on the flip side, if they beat an NC State team that they're the underdog to, I think that could propel them to a really excellent year. I think the beginning half of their season, as daunting as it is, it's a little bit easier than the second half with Florida and Clemson and Georgia on the back end there. So a win could do a lot for South Carolina. And like you said, obviously a loss kind of halts the momentum.
Well, let's end the episode with that conversation then. Is South Carolina the team in the SEC this weekend with the most to gain, in your opinion? Because, I'm looking through the games here, looking for a team that could maybe prove something, and South Carolina kind of jumps out at me. But I tell you, another team that I think could really prove something this weekend would be Texas A&M, that Sunday night game at UCLA in sort of a make-or-break year for Kevin Sumlin. You travel out to Los Angeles. You're the only SEC game on Sunday night. I think West Virginia and Virginia Tech play as well. But I think that could be somewhat of a statement game for A&M to start the season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've reached out to some people that I know back in Los Angeles, big UCLA people, and they've kind of told me that, the team's rallied behind a new strength coach and they've got a new facility there. And I kind of rolled my eyes when they've told me that, because I don't think either one of those is going to play into this game. If that's kind of what the UCLA is holding their hat on at this point, I think they're in trouble. Texas A&M under Kevin Sumlin, they almost always start out strong, and they faced some top competition last year, obviously UCLA. They played Arizona State before that. I want to say before that, they played South Carolina, coming off three consecutive 11-win seasons, and they've beaten all those teams, and they've looked impressive doing it with young quarterbacks almost every year, aside from last year with Trevor Knight. I think A&M could come out, show up a lot on offense, you know, make some plays on defense, and kind of proclaim that they're not going away quietly. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, that's South Carolina year. That was Kenny Trill. I remember, I don't think I've ever seen a bigger overreaction in week one college football than that season. I what was that, 2013? 14, maybe. It was. Yeah, and Kenny Trill had just been trademarked, and A&M all of a sudden was a national championship contender, and then I think that South Carolina team ended up going about 5-7 or something. So that was an interesting year for sure. But anyway, Mike, anything else before we get out of here for episode 5?
Well, that's just something we'll have to watch next week. Let's not overreact to anything that happens this week. But, you know, I'm just excited for it to get here. Next episode, we'll be making our picks. And like we said at the top of the show, you can find that SEC podcast on iTunes now. Just looking forward to the next episode.
Me too, my friend. Can't wait to make our picks. That one will go up, I'm assuming, on Friday. And then also, you mentioned the overreaction. I'm sure on the episode after that, we'll have plenty of overreaction.